Hello, welcome to commentary for 248. This is Psalms 58 and 61. So there wasn't a whole lot in here that we haven't seen before. Really, David, in Psalm 58, he's just, again, obsessing with justice. And it almost seems to the extreme of revenge. But we do know that while David does seem to have this obsession with justice, he doesn't take matters into his own hands. He does wait on God, and he does trust God for his protection, his safety, and everything. But like I said, 58 is predominantly about injustice and his faith in God to bring justice about and to avenge the godly when they see injustice. So that's no new theme. But verse 3 is the one that stood out to me. It says, "These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth they have lied and gone their own way." You know, we are all born sinners. And some people believe that, and some people argue with that idea. Maybe it doesn't seem fair that we are born sinners. It's almost like, why would God create us when he knows we're going to sin and then punish us because we do what he created us to do? So I get the conundrum. However, remember when God created Adam and Eve, there was no sin. And it was Adam's disobedience. And of course, Eve is the one that led him to that disobedience because she was convinced by the serpent. Who was Satan? So Adam did disobey God's law, and they only had one rule, and that was to not eat of two particular trees in the Garden of Eden: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of eternal life. So when that sin was committed, the penalty for that sin was death. So because God is holy and just, he required death for that sin. And that's when God made the first animal sacrifice. It would never have occurred to Adam and Eve to do that. So God did that. And he provided that way, that temporary covering of sin, until, of course, Jesus comes and dies for our sins. And that takes away our sins. So yes, we are born with a sinful nature. It's interesting that David says that here. He also says it in Psalm 51, which we already read back towards the end of 2 Samuel. But Paul, in his teachings, also refers to it in Ephesians 2. And I'm just going to read a little bit from this. It says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus." So, yeah, it's not fair. You're right. But not in the way that maybe we think, why did God create us just to be sinners? It's not fair that he sent his only son to die for our sins. It's not fair, it's grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8. "God saved you by his grace when you believed." That's all that's required. That meets the minimum qualifications, believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins. and that he was raised on the third day, that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. And no one comes to the Father but through him. So, you can't take any credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things, the good things, he planned for us long ago. I love that scripture. I think it must be a favorite of my pastor's. Also because he quotes that one all the time. That it is a gift from God and not of good works that anyone may boast. He says that all the time. So that's a good one to remember. So that was just the part that stood out to me about this particular Psalm 58. He's wanting justice from God. And then Psalm 61, he's just really crying out to God. Now it says crying to God, that's prayer, right? When you're in a desperate situation, which David often was throughout his life, it seems here he's running for safety from being persecuted. He was in that situation many times. He says, I cry to you for help. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge. So God does lead him. David many times lived up in the rocks for safety because he was being hunted by his enemies. There were many caves in there and he was able to hide and be safe. But he understands that it's not the cave that saves him, that it's God that watches him and provides the refuge for him. Verse 5 says, for you have heard my vows, O God. Now these vows are promises to God. And it seems that he does this regularly. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name. And many years, add many years to the life of the king. He's asking for more time. Add many years to the life of the king. So he's the king when he wrote this. And he's asking for more time. Don't let my life be cut short. May his years span the generations. He wants a long, full life, and he trusts that God will give it to him. May he reign under God's protection forever. May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him. He's talking about himself in the third person. Then I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. Okay, so that's just a beautiful prayer. He's counting on God for every need. My study Bible says, David made a vow to praise God each day. David continually praised God through both good and difficult times of his life. Do you find something to praise God for each day? As you do, you will find your heart elevated from daily distractions to lasting confidence. Sometimes we have a tendency to, we forget to praise God sometimes, don't we? We remember to call out to him when we're desperate, right? Because we've tried everything ourselves and as a last resort, nothing we tried fixed the problem. So, okay, God, I need your help. Well, you know, sometimes we need to come to him first. Sometimes if we're in communion with him on a daily basis, as David was, he already knows. He's already provided. He's already lit the path before us. And we just need to stay in communication so that we can stay on his right path and stop trying to blaze our own trails. We will always do better to go by God's plan. So I love that he counts on God for so much. I love that he's praying daily and that whether times are good or bad, he is talking to God. He is praising God. He is praying to God. Doesn't matter what his situation is. God hears from David. So we can certainly take his example to heart on that. That's really it for today. I don't want to keep you any longer than I have to. I hope you all have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.